Do you ever feel like you're stuck? You just cannot seem to move forward? Well, that's pretty common to all of us. And I have myself been stuck many times, and I haven't known how to get unstuck sometimes because how to take steps forward isn't always easy or clear. Like, what is the pathway? So today on our podcast, I've taken a lot of listener questions when I've asked, hey, what do you want to talk about? And we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles and becoming unstuck. There is steps we can take, and not everybody knows how to do this. They're learned skills, learned how to problem solve and learn how to just move forward, even though you're not quite sure where it will lead to. But you know, if you stay trapped in a pattern of thought or behavior, you just can't move forward. So that's today's show on Equipped to Be. All right. So we've done a few shows on rejection and overcoming rejection. And, you know, they all are kind of like cousins, per se. They interrupt our ability to move forward. They can cripple us emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, especially. And we don't want that to happen. I know that last July of 2023, I hit a wall. I was on the road every other weekend, speaking all over the country and internationally, working on the podcast where we had to produce multiple podcasts, several radio and television segments for the weekly segment that I do, writing for a magazine that I write for. And I was producing so much content and just pour out that I hit a wall. I didn't know how to get back up and to move forward. And that took me a good couple of months. And then we had some upheaval and transitioning here at Equipped to Be that threw me in a whole nother direction. And I felt paralyzed. I was just stuck. I didn't know what to do. A lot of times this happens with our kids. And of course, here we are as adults and we get ourselves stuck, you know, stuck in a career path, stuck with a behavior pattern, a thought process. You know, we struggle and challenge. Imagine our kids. They don't have the maturity level. They don't have the ability to kind of think through all of this, and they're trying to figure it out. And that's why this episode is so important, because we want to talk about, this is overcoming obstacles and getting emotionally unstuck will actually be steps that will very practical, that will help you not only get yourself unstuck when that happens to you, like it did to me. And I'm going to break down some of the things that I had to go through to kind of get myself back out of the muck and mire of my own thoughts or just struggles that I was having at the same time everything else around me was going kind of in a tailspin, so to speak. But it'll also transfer to your kids. We want our children to learn how to overcome and to get out of being stuck. And so let's talk about this a little bit. You know, when we learn how to overcome obstacles, then you start to find that path to getting unstuck. And the truth is, everyone faces hurdles in life. That's just common, right? But the key to getting through it lies in how you navigate the challenges. It's with a positive attitude, a hopeful outlook, the truth of knowing what God's word says and that God will lead and guide you, and action steps. You know, we can't really move forward if we're stuck in a pattern that's holding us back. I remember last July, I had stepped on a rusty roofing nail and it went through my shoe. And it was, you know, Paul talks about a thorn in my flesh. Boy, that was really painful, and it caused me to hobble and not be able to walk, and it wouldn't heal. And it ultimately led to me having to have surgery more recently, because we didn't know there was a piece of that rusty nail still in my foot, and it was causing great, great pain. And as I was trying to heal and trying to deal with it prior to having surgery, because I wasn't planning on that happening, because who knew I had a piece of rusty roofing nail in my foot? I didn't know. And the doctors didn't see it on any of the x-rays. And it just reminded me of something that one of my medical folks had told me, and that is, you know, your feet are what takes you forward. And when you've got an area that's causing you, like that situation with my foot, it can cause you to not be able to move forward. And that's the same with overcoming obstacles. That's the same with getting unstuck. You have to change some patterns of thought and behavior, or you just can't move forward. You just keep spinning your wheels. You keep hobbling along, wondering how are you ever going to get through it? And maybe things resolve for a little bit until you finally, it just kind of settles down on its own, and then it'll reemerge if you don't have the skills to be able to equip yourself and guide your kids through this process. So the first thing when I was dealing with all of this is that you have to have ways and patterns, and you have to change your thoughts. If you don't, you stay stuck. How do we start with that? Well, we start with assessment and identification. Now, this is extremely important because if you don't understand the problem, you can't really address it, right? So you have to be very honest with yourself. And it begins by gathering as much information as you possibly can about the circumstances, the feelings, the behaviors, and the thought patterns. You know, this might be done through like interviews or questions. It could be done through some assessments and testing. It's also done through prayer and asking the Lord to help you assess, give you wisdom, give you discernment into what you're facing or what your child is struggling with, or why are you stuck? What is this obstacle? And there's a good book I have enjoyed reading called The Obstacle is the Way. If you haven't read that, I will have a link over in the show notes for ConnieGalpers.com, and you can get a copy of that book. But, you know, obstacles are a way for us to move forward. I mean, there's something, they help build resolve. They help build confidence. They help build in us what we need to move forward. And we often want to avoid obstacles, but we can't, because life is full of them. And we want to teach that to our children, that they will face obstacles continually. And they're watching you. How do you handle the obstacles that face you in life? Do you run away from them? Do you pretend they don't exist? Do you overreact? Do you do all manner of things besides actually address the problems that you're facing? Do you see them as a positive? Hey, this is going to grow me. This is going to refine me. This is going to make me more into the person God made me to be. I'm going to learn from this. See, there's a positive and a negative when we start to do an assessment and we start to identify them. The other way that we can assess and identify our patterns, our behaviors, our thought process is to ask a trusted friend and even your spouse. And I know a lot of times we don't want to ask our spouse because maybe they don't want to hear what they have to say, but they do live with you and they watch, they know your patterns. They know how you think, feel, and behave. They've been watching you for however long. Like my husband and I are close to our 40th year of marriage. My husband knows, he sees how I handle stress, problems. And it's different, you know, when I'm in the home versus when I'm in the work environment or I'm in, you know, speaking, I handle situations differently. I'll never forget, I was speaking at a conference out in San Diego. It was a social media, a marketing conference, and I was working on equipping the volunteers. And in the middle of it, a fire alarm went off in this huge convention center in a big city in San Diego. And I will never forget, I immediately went to previous training that I had gained like 20 years ago. Like, what do you do when a situation like that happens? Do you know the laws? Do you know how to, you know, think, feel, and behave? I had already been trained in that decades earlier. And I immediately went into action. This is what we need to do. And I stopped what I was doing, like stopped on a dime. And I pivoted. This is what we need to do. And I had to direct these hundreds of people to do what they needed to do to vacate the building till we got it all clear. And I'll never forget the comments that I received after that. And that was, Connie, cool under pressure. It was a pressure situation, one that had I not thought through and had practiced before, I wouldn't have really known what to do. And everybody was looking to me because I was on the stage of, what do we do? So asking trusted friends or your spouse to help you assess when you're stuck, or even when your child's stuck, you want to help your children learn like how they can get unstuck and give them the same tips, like, you know, your best friend or your grandparents or someone close to you, your mom or dad or someone, a coach. Next, you got to write it down. Why are you feeling the way you feel? Now, if you've listened to Equipped to Be for any length of time, you know I am a huge advocate for journaling. Journaling helps you think through situations. It helps you get your thoughts down on paper. And the other amazing thing is you start to see patterns of behavior you have, thoughts, the way you normally think about things. And then after a while, you are able to go back and see how God has changed you over the course of time. So write it down. And then think about the behaviors and the thought patterns that you've allowed yourself to believe. This is key. Where are those thought patterns coming from? Is society causing you to think this way? Friends, your friend group, political affiliation, whatever it is, where are they coming from? And I want to encourage you that I always go to God's word because I want to know how I'm supposed to be thinking, how I'm supposed to be feeling, and how I'm supposed to be processing the things that are constantly bombarding me, the obstacles that get in my way, the things that can cause me to be stuck or unstuck. See, when you know where your beliefs are coming from, it's just an excellent place to start because it's hard to make lasting change without knowing the root cause of why you keep finding yourselves in these situations, not responding and reacting the way you would want or the way God would want you to react. And we want our children to understand this same area because we are to teach and train our children in the way they should go. If we don't know what those are, it's very difficult to teach and train, isn't it? So when you're learning these, you pass it down to your kids or pass it on to your kids. Next, we want to identify the triggers and patterns. There are a lot of books written about triggers, and for a long time, I resisted that term. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't like it. It was always in a very negative connotation of, you know, there's always going to be people that trigger you. And I didn't like that because you can't avoid people, even in your own home. But in the context of what I'm talking about, there are certain things and situations that happen that cause a reaction. So whether you want to say, identify, you know, the things that cause you to react, or you use the word triggers and patterns, it's pretty much one and the same. But part of this initial assessment is to identify the triggers that cause you to feel stuck or your child to feel stuck. And these could be very specific. It's important for these to be very specific instructions, actually. Like, what is a situation? What is your emotional reaction? What are the reoccurring thoughts that lead you to become unproductive in your behavior, that keep you there, that's like holds you back? When you identify the triggers and patterns, you've got to become very specific. And when we do this, it's because sometimes we react because of how we were raised. Now, this is another area I'm always very careful about. No one had perfect parents. Adam and Eve weren't perfect. No one had perfect. You did not have perfect parents, and you're not a perfect parent. There were so many times throughout, you know, homeschooling and parenting my kids that I would say, God gave you an imperfect mom and dad. And guess what? God gave us an imperfect child. And in what God created and how God set up our family, guess what? We're all a bunch of imperfect people who are going to be doing things wrong all the time. And that's why when people ask me, what would you go back and change? It's not with pride when I say I wouldn't really change anything. And it's not because I did it all right, but it's because I would have made different mistakes. And I would tell my kids, hey, I am an imperfect mother, but God saw fit to give you me. Because in my imperfection and in your imperfection as a child, we're going to bring glory to the Lord. We're going to make this work. And then it's not going to be about us boasting how great we were as a parent or how great our kids were as kids. It's about how great God was to allow you to do life together. The good, the bad, the hard, the ugly. But when you know where your beliefs are coming from, it's an excellent place to start. It's hard to make any lasting change if you don't know the root. When we get very specific, we're able to go back to, how was I raised? Do I do this because it's a learned pattern, which it always is, usually. We're trying to protect ourselves. Maybe we got hurt and we were very vulnerable and it wounded us deeply. Maybe we are doing things because we learned that's how you fit in. You go along to get along. But in going along to getting along, it's caused you to not have the tools that you need when life hits hard. And you have to overcome these obstacles so you can get unstuck. Next would be the cognitive, the emotional. It's very important that you listen to what you're thinking and what you're saying to yourself. Boy, is there power in self-talk. When I wrote in Parenting Beyond the Rules, you know, we need to pay attention to the unspoken word that our kids are all, they were always in our kids' mind. They can tell you how you're going to react, what makes you happy, what makes you mad. They know when is a good time to ask you something. They're a student of, I mean, they know us, right? And so oftentimes we listen to what our children say and we're giving them correction. Oh, hon, don't, you know, that's not a great way to say that. We want, maybe consider saying it in a different light or seeing things from a different perspective. That counsel you give your kids actually goes to you. And the reason that we want to have that reflective listening is because all of us want to feel heard. We all want to feel heard. And we want to clarify what we're saying or what we're thinking. We want to put it under a microscope and understand that their concerns are valid and they feel these deeply. The same for you. I was talking to a friend recently, and one of the things we were discussing is how few people actually listen. They'll ask you a question, oh, how you doing? And literally, while you're talking, they're formulating their response to when your turn is over and you go, oh, and how are you? And they've been queuing that up the whole time you're talking because they're not actively listening to you. There is a real problem. When I was writing Parenting Beyond the Rules, one of the chapters I talk about, it's probably one of the more popular chapters. It was on listening to learn. We have a critical situation happening in culture and it's around the world. And that's people just don't listen. Everybody's a talking head. Listening requires someone to pause what they're, you know, is occupying the space between their ears and their brain to listen to what somebody else is having to say. And when you're facing obstacles and you're stuck, it is helpful to have somebody who is actively listening that can give you sound wisdom and discernment and instructions because they paid attention to what it is that you were saying. Oftentimes, people will say to me, they're stuck because they just really have this deep-seated belief about themselves or about the world. That's great. Sometimes we have to examine those. Sometimes they're not always right. Or as you grow and change and mature, those can change. Now, a deep-seated belief about something is not the same thing as having a conviction, a biblical conviction about something that you know God says is good, that we need to be doing is right, that a command, so to speak. Now, these might include, when I'm talking about reflective listening, I'm talking about like feelings of inadequacy, feelings of fear or failure, fear of failure, or pessimistic thoughts. So here's some examples. I'm not good at, fill in the blank. Well, I just lack self-confidence. I don't think I could just really do that. Or what if I fail? Have you come up with an answer to those, a response, so that when your brain, which is never not working, it's always working, it's always processing thoughts. And if you're not careful, those thoughts just pop into your mind at uninvited times and they can just take you in a whole different direction. So you can't make a thought not come into your mind. Oh, I can't. I'll fail. I don't have the skills. I don't have the knowledge. You can't stop the thoughts from coming. But what you can do and what you must do if you want to overcome obstacles, if you want to get unstuck, what you absolutely must do is have a response ready and practice those responses so that when a thought bombards you, when the enemy whispers a lie in your ear or you have allowed yourself to believe something for a long time, if you don't have an automatic response that is positive, true, and right, you'll continue in that habit and those patterns. A well-worn path is difficult to change. Doesn't mean it's impossible. It's just hard to change. That's same with your kids. Your kids don't have those well-worn patterns that you and I have, but they are starting to create them, and you have an opportunity to help them create the right path, the right patterns, and the right thought processes. Our kids oftentimes will say, well, what if my friends laugh at me? That's valid. Let's be honest. Most of us, I know there's a few listeners who are like, yeah, bring it on. Most of us, though, aren't really thrilled at the thought of people laughing at us or mocking us or making fun of us. That doesn't empower us. It hurts. It brings us down. It makes us recoil a little bit or shut up. I can't do that. That's very common with kids. I can't do that. And same with us, they don't have the confidence. Now, some temperaments, and I will post some of the other episodes that I've done that talk about, you know, strengths assessments and overcoming, you know, thoughts, beliefs, and patterns and how you experience the world around you. I'll put some of those in the show notes. So go over to ConnieOppers.com and you can find those. But let's move forward. You've got to have, in the psychology world, you've got to, they call it cognitive behavior therapy, CBT. Basically, that's just used to challenge or change unhelpful distortions and behaviors. It's used to help improve emotional regulation and develop personal coping skills and strategies. That is something you can do. You don't have to go to a therapist to have that. It's just what we've talked about, these steps that I've been giving you. Sometimes you do need to have intervention, especially if your child or you have very destructive or self-inflicting or harm type of thoughts or patterns. That's very different, and you would want to seek professional help in those areas. But they are geared toward helping people navigate and cope and develop coping strategies so they can solve the current problem. Again, think about the toolbox you have. Whether you have a small little handheld toolbox or you have a big old, you know, file drawer cabinet with lots of drawers and a variety of tools, the older you get, the more tools you have in the toolbox at your disposal. But if you just have a bunch of tools and you've never learned how to use them, they're pretty useless, aren't they? They're just taking up space. So we have to learn how to use the tools that we have. And a lot of times we learn how to use the tools because we are doing a project. And it requires using a certain tool. Well, overcoming obstacles and learning to get unstuck requires us develop and cultivate and use different tools to help us develop those coping skills. Another one would be the mindfulness and just accepting. There's different techniques of mindfulness and meditation. And it could be, and what I use is just thinking of God's word. When I read God's word and I study it, I just need time to think on it. I need time to let it process into my brain. You know, there's something true about reading God's word. When God tells us to lay down something, put it down, stop doing it, stop. Okay, here's an example. Stop lying. He didn't just say stop lying. God's word, the Bible teaches, no, you stop lying and you start telling the truth. You stop being selfish and you serve others. And it goes on and on. There's never a command to stop doing something that is unproductive, not right, hurtful, harmful, without being told what you do. Stop being greedy and start being generous. I mean, the list goes on. You could, whatever you identify as problems you're trying to work through now that are keeping you stuck, write it down. Like I said, go back to the journal. You know, when you have these experiences of certain thoughts and feelings, you want to be able to accept, yes, that I do that. Admitting that we do or we have those patterns of behavior is the beginning of overcoming the obstacle. It's the beginning of getting unstuck. If you don't identify what you're doing, it's kind of hard to reroute a pathway. So you've got to have the skills. You've got to develop them. You know, that's why our kids go to school. They're developing skills and ways of learning and information that they're going to be using throughout all of their life. It's the same thing. So it's like a problem-solving skill, teaching these problem-solving skills that deal with specific situations. Tell yourself the truth about a situation. Remind yourself that no one can make you feel stuck. Pray, ask the Lord to help you develop problem-solving skills that will help you take the next step. Write it down. Write down how you want to respond and what problem needs to be addressed. And refer to it often. Put it on post-it notes. Put it on your phone. Set an alarm on your phone that reminds you, okay, I need to think about this. These are the skills that help you when those random thoughts pop in your mind or a situation you're faced with helps you feel like you can't get anywhere, you can't get out of the situation, you can't go over it, you can't go around it, you can't go under it. You got to go through it. See, these small tests that happen to us, they're real life. And when we go through the process of equipping our minds and writing things down, they are those tools that you need. They become the natural reaction, the natural responses. And then you just reevaluate and you readjust. There's freedom in the pivot. Just because you've always done something a certain way, you've always reacted in a certain way, that is not an excuse for you to continue in that path. And I hear it all the time. No, don't make an excuse. Now, if it's true, this is what you do, that doesn't mean you're enslaved to it forever. You're only enslaved to it if you are unwilling to make the necessary adjustments and changes. So just remember that when we follow these steps, when we learn effective ways to process what is going on, what has got us stuck, what obstacles before us, when we learn effective ways, we're able to move forward. And each step that I listed is tailored to a specific need and circumstances. And it will help you get unstuck. It will help you move past the things that have been holding you back or holding you down. Or like when I shared about the rusty nail, it was causing me great pain. I had to address it and then work on getting it fixed. It's just a visual for you to imagine. Yeah, I had to have surgery to remove that. Because otherwise, I would be constantly crippled and walking and hobbling along because that wasn't going to get out unless it was removed. You've got to look at the roots. What's causing your behavior? What's causing your thoughts? And be willing to do the hard work. Not only is it going to help you, but it's going to help your kids. It's going to teach them the way they should go. And that is what our primary task is as a parent. So just be honest about it, because you can get emotionally unstuck. You can break the patterns of thought or behavior that keep you from moving forward. So if you want to see more detailed show notes, go over to ConnieOppers.com. I really hope this is helpful to you, because all of us at every age and every stage of our lives are going to be faced with situations that can cause us to be stuck, that can be obstacles. But the obstacles, the stuckness, the getting unstuck, can be an amazing time of opportunity and personal growth for you in your faith, in your walk, and in the relationships with those who you love. So thanks for tuning into this episode of Equipped to Be, and we'll see you next time. Well, that wraps up this episode of Equipped to Be. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with a friend or family member and hit subscribe so you don't miss a show. And thank you again for joining me. Remember that we are equipped for every season of life.